Welcome to the Fight White Genocide podcast with Laura, Ken, and Jeff, where we talk about whatever we think is important in the global struggle against white genocide. This is podcast number 6, recorded March 19th, 2019. Today's topic is the Christchurch, New Zealand shooting. How you doing, Laura?
Hey, Jeff. How you doing?
Good. How you doing, Ken?
I'm doing well.
All right. The first thing I'd like to do is play this recording made by Hillary Clinton. Right after the Dallas 2016 shooting, where Micah Xavier Johnson murdered 5 police officers.
Madam Secretary, thanks very much to you for joining us. So let me start with the deadly police ambush in Dallas overnight, the deadliest day for police officers here in the United States since 9/11. What would you do as President of the United States to prevent this from happening again? Madam Secretary, how would you bridge the divide between police officers who now feel targeted and African Americans who also feel they are targets? Here's a fundamental question, critically important right now. Why do you believe you would be better suited at handling the racial divide in America than Donald Trump?
And I will call for white people like myself to put ourselves in the shoes of those African-American families who fear every time their children go somewhere, who have to have the talk about, you know, how to really protect themselves when they're the ones who should be expecting protection from encounters with the police. I'm going to be talking to white people. I think we're the ones who have to start listening to the legitimate cries that are coming from our African-American fellow citizens.
All right. She didn't talk about black supremacy or anything, or black violence. She said it was white people's fault. We have to listen to the legitimate concerns of black people. So now after this Christchurch shooting, is anybody saying we have to listen to the legitimate concerns of white people?
No, yep. Not that I've heard of.
Yeah, it's all Clinton was doing was justifying the black violence against white people and saying that white people are to blame.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, what?
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's basically when they commit terrorism or mass murder, then we need to think about their concerns, and we also need to worry about backlash mm-hmm. against Islamic terrorism that, well, now that they bombed a bunch of kids at a concert in Manchester, we need to worry about the backlash that Muslims might face because of this.
Mm. Yeah. Is anyone worried about any backlash against white people now? Is anybody talking about that?
I haven't heard that.
No.
I haven't heard anybody concerned about that. I think we'll probably be the only ones. We'll be the only ones talking about that, and we'll be the only ones actually talking about any real solution to these problems. Mm-hmm. We're the only people that are going to be talking about how to actually stop all of this violence, mm-hmm. be it Islamic terrorism in Europe or even the response that some pro-whites might go out and carry out violence. We're the only ones trying to prevent it. Our conversation is the only conversation that will lead to any kind of solution to all of these issues.
That's it.
Right. And we'd like to point out that violence doesn't work. We don't advocate violence whatsoever. The problem isn't violence. They're not putting a boot on everybody's neck. They don't have, you know, a cop on every corner, you know, forcing everybody to do anything. They use psychological operations. They use words. They use propaganda. They use moral shaming, psychological warfare. They use this to control public opinion. That's how the anti-whites took power. That's how they maintained power. Violence isn't going to change any of that. It isn't going to change public opinion. It isn't going to reduce their power whatsoever. What we have to mm-hmm. do is gain propaganda superiority. Mm-hmm. We have to beat them at their own game to a certain extent. If we look at this overall, we see we're being censored. So whenever I see a crime like this committed, I wonder, well, what if they had heard this message from us, you know, that it's a propaganda war? Maybe the reason this happened is because he didn't hear that, because of all this censorship. So if that's true, then it's the censor's fault that this violence is happening, because mm-hmm. where violence is the only alternative to discussion. So if they're suppressing discussion, anyone who is suppressing discussion is is creating violence. The people doing the suppressing are causing the violence, not us.
Mm-hmm. That's right. But there are thousands of different quotes from people in history and, you know, famous people about this exact situation with censorship, in that it leads to violence. I mean, I put something up on Facebook the other day about a John F. Kennedy quote saying that those who make peaceful revolution impossible make violent revolution inevitable. And Bob has talked about this exact same thing ad nauseum over the years. And it's a well established fact that when you suppress and censor a group of people that have legitimate concerns, if you suppress them, it's going to lead to more anger from them. Mm-hmm. And some of them are going to act out that anger in violence. It's just a reality. And people that are deliberately trying to suppress it are responsible for whatever violence comes about.
And again, we're not advocating violence. We don't want violence. We're just saying it's inevitable. The more you suppress speech, the more violence you're going to get.
I think I want to touch back there on what you started with, Jeff, about how we don't, you know, violence doesn't work, and what we are involved in is a psychological war, a propaganda war. But the fact is that that once we are suppressed and from using words and being able to freely discuss what is going on, then the result, the only other option is violence.
I'm sorry. Yep, keep going. Important thing to ask, we need to ask a question, like if the topic of white genocide was a mainstream topic on all of the mass media outlets, would Dylann Roof, would we know his name? Would he have committed his crime? Would the guy in New Zealand have committed his crime if we were having a national or an international conversation about white genocide and how and coming up with a fair and reasonable way of dealing with this, rather than just telling white people to shut up and die off?
Right. To the extent they suppress us, they suppress our message, they are increasing the chance of violence. Because if they hear our message, either they believe it and they don't use violence, or they don't believe it, and then maybe they do use violence, or their government plans.
Yeah, and the people that are on top of all of the campaign for censoring and suppressing us, they know this very well. They know that what they're doing is going to lead to more violence. Trying to normalize people into that, into accepting it. As what the London mayor said recently,
right?
Something about
Sadiq Khan said that it's part and parcel of living in a big city.
Yeah.
He said that he believes the threat of terror attacks are part and parcel of living in the big city. They're just preparing that violence is part and parcel. Violence is acceptable. I mean, all brown countries are violent countries, and when you start turning white countries into brown countries, and where whites are a minority, and then suppress any discussion from the white people about what is happening in their homelands, it's going to lead to violence, because discussion is the human alternative to violence.
That's right.
And they're going to use the violence as an excuse for repression. That's true. But that's not the main reason we're against it. The main reason is because it doesn't work. It doesn't discredit anti-whitism. It doesn't deprogram brainwashed white people, who are the ones we're trying to get to.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work.
Right. And we see the anti-whites using the media right now to mm-hmm. use this instance as part of their propaganda war. So whatever he did backfired, because now they're up there saying that anybody who objects to white genocides and Nazi white supremacists, blah blah blah, they're going overdrive in their propaganda war. And all he did was just kill a bunch of Muslims that really had nothing to do with white genocide. They might be being used as part of it, but it's not their fault. And that's just the reality, is that. And like Jeff pointed out, that it seems to me that this guy really didn't even understand white genocide. If you look at his manifesto, he's talking about birth rates. He never mentions anything about forced assimilation. It's all about mass immigration and birth rates, and that's his version of white genocide, which, by the way, sounds a bit suspicious to me, because that is exactly how anti-whites like to phrase it. They like to phrase it as being birth rates, and that if white people don't like it, then they should just have more babies. So I do find his whole manifesto very suspicious. I won't get into that anymore, but
I think I think it is, you know, this very first point is that violence doesn't work. You know, from our perspective, this is a terrible way to go about to try and to have the discussion. You know, but ultimately that is what we need to talk about is, you know, why this is happening. I mean, why are blacks going and shooting white cops and it's being blamed on white people? Why are we, you know, when something like this happens, why aren't we seen as the victims and the, you know, that we have an issue that is needing to be discussed? You know, another part from Bob's, he said that there is going to be a lot of violence, because violence is always the result when you forcibly shut off discussion of any important issue. You know, I think that's, you know, Jeff, we were talking about that before, is about how the left will always use violence or the threat of violence to shut off any discussion that we want to have about this at universities or wherever. You know, they'll shut us down and say, oh, the threat of violence, they're going to cause violence. So, for public safety, we can't allow you to have that discussion here today. And, you know, so then once this issue gets suppressed, it ends up that violence is the only reaction.
Yeah, as this pro-white revolution unfolds, how violent it turns out is going to completely depend on the anti-whites and how much suppression they engage in.
Yeah,
We need to point out that, you know, whites are the only group that are under attack here. Whites are whites are the only group being subjected to global genocide. Whites are the only ones, mm-hmm. you know, under an existential threat here. Muslims have a big chunk of the world already, and no one's flooding them with non-Muslims and trying to force blend the Muslims out of existence. They have the whole planet from Morocco to Indonesia, mm-hmm. you know, to Kazakhstan. You know, they have their own countries. You know, they don't have any right to move into white countries.
Right.
You know, but every white country is being flooded with millions and millions of non-whites. They're being put in every town, every school, being forced to integrate. They're being encouraged to interbreed with the whites. That's not happening in many Muslim countries. There'll still be you know, Muslims 100 years from now, but there might not be any white people 100, 200 years from now.
Yeah, and I mean, on top of the suppression, we also have the point that if white genocide was not happening, then there would be no Islamic terrorism in Western civilization. There would be no none of these Dylan Roofs or this guy in New Zealand responding to it.
Mm-hmm.
All 100% of the terrorism is 100% of the fault of anti-whites. They created this environment. It is their mess. So the idea that they're even blaming pro-whites for this is laughable. Uh-huh. And it's kind of sick what they're doing, that they are creating this environment and then blaming the victims of the environment they created and mm-hmm. pretending that they are somehow responsible for it.
Yeah. When right. they respond, how, you know, however misguided that response might be.
Yeah.
But he didn't go to Mecca and blow up a mosque there and shoot
exactly.
a bunch of people, you know, but they come to our churches, they come to our streets and mow mm-hmm. people down.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Dylan Roof didn't go to a mosque in Sudan.
No, but as Sudanese came to one of our churches and started shooting people. Yeah.
Yep, in Tennessee. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, that comes to that quote or that meme. How can you be a white supremacist when there is nobody around but white people?
Yeah, how
exactly.
can you supremacize people who aren't there? Or, you know, how can you be a supremacist if you don't want to supremacize anybody? To be a supremacist, you have to want to supremacize. So you have to want people here, you know, to supremacize. We don't want anyone here to supremacize.
Right.
I'm completely against supremacy.
Even if you went through, go through our site and look around, nothing that we say is anything remotely about white people being a superior race. But according to the media, we would be white supremacists, quote mm-hmm. unquote.
That's right. And that's, you know, how can you be a white supremacist if our crime is that we want nothing to do with non-whites? You know, that's right. We don't want this. You know, we don't want.
We don't want the terrorism. We don't want the violence. We want them to be happy in their areas and us happy in ours.
But the anti-whites blame white people for everything. So they must think whites are superior in some way. If a handful of whites are capable of creating conditions in brown countries, but at the same time they say, well, you know, they're not responsible for the conditions in white countries. You know, that was a handful of black slaves that did that. Yeah.
Right. And of course, the narrative today with refugees and asylum seekers, anybody in a brown country is essentially a refugee, an asylum seeker. Essentially, their point is, the anti-whites' point is that living in a brown country is inhumane. And then they call us white supremacists when they say that living in a brown country is inhumane.
What's absurd, though, is that the people make up the country. It's not this magic dirt that America is. Once you become a brown majority country, it turns into a brown third world. Right. So
Their message is that nobody should have to live in a brown country except the white people.
Yeah. If you trash your own country, you get trash ours. Yeah.
That's it. And it's there's
no morality there. You know, they're not. Well, if you trash your own country, why shouldn't you be forced to live in it?
Yeah.
You know, if you trash your own house, why shouldn't you be forced to live in it? You trash your own house? Well, yeah, I just burned my house to the ground, or
let me come do it to yours.
So I get to live in yours. I trash my own house, so I get to live in yours now, right?
Yeah, it's totally upside down and bizarre, the terminology that they use, and in many cases it's just totally projection. Like in this case, they really believe that white people are a superior race, and that they have some kind of moral obligation to take care of all the brown people. They believe this.
Yeah,
and then if you don't believe that white people are a superior race, then they call you a white supremacist.
Yeah, brown people can't take care of themselves, but we're capable of taking care of them and ourselves, I guess. So obviously they think whites are superior if they think
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yeah. And they never even occurs to them that point. They're so like trained into anti-whitism that thought process never even occurs to them.
Yeah,
they have no self-awareness.
If we go back to what Hillary said, you know, obviously she isn't treating the black people as fully humans responsible for their own actions, is she?
No, she's not.
She's blaming it on white people. Yeah. Everything comes back to
right.
Yeah.
She doesn't believe that blacks have any agency or intelligence, and that's basically everything that they do is just a natural result of what white people are doing to them or something. I don't know.
Yeah, because of their oppression, because of what white people
oppressed.
Did, they're oppressed and it's justification for their actions.
Yes,
but you know, guys, I want to. Yeah, sorry.
I was going to say brown people are oppressed in white countries. That's the narrative. Therefore, we need to invite all brown people here to experience that oppression.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's a good one. That flip. But I wanted to read this, you know, you this White Rage article by Bob, getting back to the New Zealand Christchurch shootings. And this one that Bob, it was written back in September 2015. But it is perfect for today, for the events, the recent events. But here, let me have a read of it. The black rage is their defense. Now, when the young guy in Charleston did his shootings, they instantly convicted me, which gave us a lot of publicity. The guy who just did the Jewish center killings has just been convicted. At the beginning of his closing argument, he put up on the whiteboard that diversity is a code word for white genocide. But oddly enough, nobody came after me. One explanation for this is the same reason they put it off with CNN. They can't deal with me. But all this has made me consider white rage. If a black man runs around killing white people, it's because of oppression. Now, if we have white guys out killing in the name of white genocide, it may be a warning. Isolated black killings of whites are the result of a legitimate black rage. So isolated killings in the name of genocide may mean that instead of stopping all discussion of white genocide, the white rage may indicate that that's exactly what we need to discuss. Or are we going to just have people keep picking up guns? At the moment, we've had a very isolated incidents, two of them, but should we consider white rage? There is no excuse for anybody just shooting other people on a basis like this, but it may signify that we are going to have to discuss the real issue, and that does not mean with the current bounds. So maybe we should start looking at these isolated two killings as white rage and as a warning. That was such a perfect, you know, link that today, you know, I think that is just, it certainly goes into what has happened in New Zealand, and that we need to, that the discussion needs to be the main focus, that we need to get it out there, that we want to discuss what is happening, and we don't want to be silenced, and we don't want to have to be forced to resort to violence. Well, that's just the focus needs to come, that we make it known that is our platform, that everything that we're doing, you know, we don't condone this, you know, there's no excuse for anybody to just shoot up other people, but it may signify that there is an underlying issue taking place here, that white people are under attack and under, you know, subject of genocide, and that we want to be able to talk about it.
Right. And the funny thing is about the Dallas thing with Hillary is that the shooter in Dallas, his issue, his entire issue, all of his issues would be resolved if we discussed white genocide. If we found a solution to it. So even his issue with what was going on would be resolved by having a fair, open, and honest discussion about race.
Right. Yeah. It's the same as – it's that same thing, that, you know, that you can't have diversity and freedom of speech at the same time. And that is why, you know, we've talked about this before in our podcast about the, you know, the loyalty to the proposition that we are – America is, that all white countries are trying to enforce this proposition, and that you must, you know, have that loyalty to that proposition, otherwise you will be condemned and hated and, you know, silenced and your life destroyed. So it's without the current bounds, you know, we need to be able to have a free and honest discussion about race in this country.
Yeah, if they have all this black rage, well, okay, they can live in Africa if they don't like living with white people. They got practically a whole continent to themselves, mm-hmm. and they're not being subjected to genocide there. But we are. So, you know, if they have something to be rageful about, then we have it, you know, orders of magnitude more. No black has been forced to live in America since 1865. If it's so horrible for them, and if it's impossible for us to live together, it sounds like a pretty good case for separation, doesn't it?
Yeah. And like I was saying with that the shooter in Dallas, I don't believe that what he was concerned about is an actual issue. But let's assume he perceives that as an actual issue. Well, his perception would totally change if white genocide was being addressed. The issue was the result of forced assimilation. There's mm-hmm. no debate that about that. That's the fact. His grief was over a repercussion of forced assimilation. And I don't believe that his cause is legit, by the way, but assuming that he perceives it to be legit, we can resolve it. We can work to resolve it. There are ways around it that does not involve that white people being destroyed and being silenced and suppressed.
I think, isn't it? And this all leads then into the inevitability of identity politics. You know, when you have this multiracial nation, you're going to have every group wanting to have spokespeople and have people looking out for themselves. You know, they're going to want just black only police officers in black neighborhoods, or, you know, whatever they want. They want to live and deal with their own. It's not going to have anything to do with, you know, like they're never going to, the Tonto, you know, to the Lone Ranger, that once they're all in majority, and look at what's happening with Omar, you know, that the same thing there, that once they get into the positions of power, they're going to start speaking from their or for their people and agenda.
Yeah, white liberals are going to be pushed out of the way.
Right.
So it's kind of inevitable that white liberals have kind of painted themselves into a corner demographically, and they have basically voted themselves into extinction out of their own party. And eventually they're all going to realize that, whether or not that means they're going to go to, you know, the Republicans or maybe some white nationalist party. I don't know. But the fact is that white liberalism is they've assured their own destruction.
Well, here's another audio I'd like to play. This is Dallas Police Chief David Brown after the Dallas shootings.
I want to share with you some of the comments from this suspect. He was upset about Black Lives Matter. He said he was upset about the recent police shootings. The suspect said he was upset at white people. The suspect stated he wanted to kill white people, especially white officers.
Okay. So he's claiming this oppression. He's claiming this disproportionate treatment. So, but if we, according to a study by Harvard professor Roland G. Fryer, no such unfair treatment exists. This is from the Washington Times. On the most extreme use of force, officer-involved shootings, we find no racial differences in either the raw data or when contextual factors are taken into account, said Harvard economics professor Roland G. Fryer, Jr. in the abstract of the July 2016 paper. So this brings up a point. When we talk about free speech, no, we mean the right to say what's true, but you can also lie. And we're not saying that you should be able to lie and get away with it, but that's exactly what the left wants to do. That's exactly why the Supreme Court decided in the Sullivan versus New York Times that they could lie with impunity, essentially, against anyone that was a public figure. So they want a situation where they get to lie about everybody else, but we can't tell the truth. So when it comes to the issue of free speech, truth also matters. And if somebody lies, you should be able to sue them.
Yeah, when they're deliberately lying. But as far as I'm concerned, I mean, all these journalists that are out there calling everybody under the sun a white supremacist, these are lawsuits waiting to happen, as far as I'm concerned. But go ahead.
Also, what Dylan Roof said as one of his, you know, rationalizations was that the press underreports black crime. Okay, well, that's true. So Mike Xavier Johnson's excuse was not true. Dylan Roof's was true.
Yeah.
So there's no moral equivalency here to what they did.
Yeah, and that was kind of my point.
I remember Bob saying about that Dylan Roof and about that point, and Bob saying, "Well, why didn't he go after the media then? You know, the media people. Why did he go after blacks in the church?
Exactly.
Yeah. Why didn't Tarrant go after, you know, any whites in power?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, sometimes some people say, "Well, we were bombing brown countries." Well, okay, that first of all, it's anti whites in power doing that, not us. You know, pro-whites aren't in power anywhere, so you can't blame pro-whites for any of that. Mm-hmm. And if we'd put a stop to it. Go ahead.
Yeah, in fact, the leading force against the war in Syria were pro-whites. Nobody else was protesting the war in Syria other than, you know, Muslims and in America and Europe, pro-whites.
Yeah, and most of these people trashed their own countries and therefore became refugees in the eyes of anti-whites. You know, come from places that aren't being bombed. You know, nobody's bombing Mexico or most of South America or Latin America or most of the stands.
Yeah, I haven't heard about Trump bombing Nicaragua. Maybe it's not being reported, but haven't heard about it.
But okay, my point there was we have troops on the ground, we have planes flying over their countries. This proves my point that the issue isn't Islam. It isn't violence, it isn't force. They can't even keep us from doing that. Obviously, they can't invade anybody by force. So force is not the issue. Islam is not the issue. Yeah. Muslims are not the issue. The issue is the anti-whites in power who let them in. Those are the enemy. Those are the people we have to go after. Those are the people we have to discredit.
Right.
And
the media that is waging a propaganda war against whites. the politicians that are advocating policies that destroy us, the media that is launching a propaganda war and against white people. These are the people responsible. It's not mm-hmm. Muslims. It's not blacks. It's not Mexicans. So those that have issues with these people, I can understand your issues, but they are not to blame. They are just weapons being used against you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're bioweapons being used to force blend white people out of existence. Now, whenever you know a Muslim commits one of these terrorist acts, they say, well, not all Muslims are terrorists, but you know, we can't ban all the Muslims. When everybody, some that commits a crime with a gun, they say, we should ban all guns. Well, mm-hmm. what's the difference? How is going after all gun owners for gun violence any different from going after all Muslims for Muslim violence? You know, mm-hmm. seems like you're stereotyping gun owners. You're being a bigot, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just one of the thousands of contradictions that they have.
Yeah, and nobody
right in front of you.
Yeah, and after all these, you know, after Black Lives Matter burned down cities and shoot people and shoot cops, and when you know some guy shoots a Representative Scalise, nobody says we have to stop left-wing rhetoric, hateful left-wing violent mm-hmm. violent rhetoric. Nobody says we have to do that. But...
Yeah, so it's funny just... how quick those instances get shoved down the memory hole. How many people forgot about mm-hmm. Dallas? How many people forgot about the shooting at the baseball diamond? Mm-hmm. These incidents happen, and then they bury it as quick as it comes out. And then everybody forgets about it. But we still have not forgot about Dylann Roof. They remind you about him almost every day.
Yeah, or the guy that brought a gun to the Chick-fil-A headquarters, and he got the address from the SPLC hate map. Okay, so was it their fault he did that?
Yeah, the Family Research Council headquarters.
We forgot about that one. That one's been buried. And the other issue is that the right-wing media help them bury it. They help them shove it down the memory hole. Mm-hmm. They are useful for that. You're not going to hear Rush Limbaugh mention any of this stuff. Not going to mention the baseball shooting. Most of the people on Fox News are not going to mention all of these incidents. And there's so many of them. Once you compile the Islamic terrorism in Europe, on top of Black American violence and things like that, and it's you cannot even compare it when we're talking about violence and terrorism and the minuscule amount that pro-whites have committed. And that's not to say that it's not going to amplify, especially now that the genie is out of the bottle with white genocide and they can't put it back in, and they're doing nothing more than suppressing, deliberately trying to suppress the views, then you can expect more violence. And so they are creating it all. They are creating all the violence. They're 100% responsible for it. Mm-hmm. So it's absolutely absurd that they would even blame pro-whites for this.
Yeah, and there's talk about, you know, retaliation for the Christchurch shooting. Well, in order for retaliation to be legitimate, we'd have to have a situation where all Muslim countries were being flooded and forced assimilated with millions and millions of non-Muslims.
Yeah.
Those Muslims would have to be given free everything paid for by the existing Muslim population. Those non-Muslims would have to be engaging in violent crime at several times the rate per capita of the existing Muslim population. The press in those countries would have to be covering up the crimes of those non-Muslims, while at the same time demonizing the existing Muslim population. The governments of those Muslim countries would have to be imposing a program of forced integration with those non-Muslim invaders and a program of mass brainwashing telling everybody diversity is our strength and there is no such thing as religion. Muslims in those Muslim countries would have to be jailed, censored, and deplatformed for saying they want their countries to stay Muslim. Politicians, journalists, academics in every Muslim country would have to be telling everyone that they are nations of immigrants and anyone can be a citizen. They have as much right to be here as the natives. And he would have to have committed the act in a Muslim country, which was being invaded, not a white country he was participating in. If all those were the cases, then it might might be equivalent.
Right. And then the retaliation would be them killing these white people in that Muslim nation. Yeah. Yeah, all of these things would have to take form before they could actually have a retaliation. Other than that, it's just an invasion, an invading force committing terrorism against white people in white countries.
No, of course, as soon as the shooting happened, they said, well, we're going to increase gun control, ratchet it up. Well, there you go. We have to crack down on speech. Well, there you go. Freedom and diversity are incompatible.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that that gun control, you also mentioned it before about, you know, going after the all gun owners after the gun violence like this. But yeah, that was another thing that Bob had said in this article, that after there were incidences like this, but for decades, every time a person shot down a group of unarmed, I repeat, unarmed people, it caused an immediate cry for gun control. But since it finally filtered down, even to the respectable conservatives, that a mass killer can only operate when nobody has a gun, this clamor stopped. You know, that's the flip side of this whole gun control issue. You know, the Bob also used to point out that, you know, when there's a group of people that are armed, you know, no shooting, you know, no mass shooting takes place at a police station, or, you know, when there's like a group of people armed, it's a lot less that there's going to be a mass shooting. So it's the same with Switzerland and that, how they took their gun control laws.
But as we've pointed out before, I mean, they don't want gun control. They don't want white control. They want white people disarmed. Even after Dallas, right. When Dallas happened, they went around and said, okay, well, the solution here is that we disarm white people. Okay. That's basically their narrative. Because as we all know, if they go around and do gun confiscation, the non-white criminals are still going to have their guns, and it's just going to be the law-abiding white people that are disarmed. Sitting ducks.
That's it. Yeah. But it is, you know, that, sorry, what Jeff was stating there about freedom and diversity are incompatible. You know, it is, that is the next, you know, why it's, what is incompatible about this program of multiculturalism and diversity, because you cannot have freedom of speech and to the freedom to discuss what is going on in multicultural, multiracial societies. Especially because it's only happening in white countries.
Yeah, as far as birth rates, well, so we have to win a breeding contest to keep what our gene pool created? Is that what you're saying? Yeah, the people that talk about white birth rates.
Yeah.
Is that what they're saying?
Which is what this shooter did. He wanted to talk about birth rates, and then he called it white genocide.
Yeah, birth rates go up and down. They never stay the same. When people... who want to sell books and sensationalize things, they take an existing demographic trend and then they extrapolate it indefinitely into the future, and they say, well, see how horrible it's going to be? But, you know, but they never, those trends never play out. You know, they always remember Soylent Green. They said that we're going to have all too many people. Well, that didn't work. Now they're saying, oh, it just flips back and forth. So, you know, these doomsayers don't have any track record. When white people get, you know, counter-subverted, when we end the anti-white brainwashing and anti-white propaganda, you know, when we get people normal again, birth rates will be just fine.
Yeah.
And it seems like this terror...
I don't know. You're going from the flip side of that. You're saying that, you know, once it happens, then birth rates will be fine. The point from us, though, is that birth rates are not going to change what's happening. There's no effect in increasing birth rates in this current situation if we can't... If we can't even discuss the fact that our birth rate is dropping, that we're being forced to become a minority in our own country, there's no point in discussing birth rates or trying to increase birth rates to stop the program of white genocide.
Yeah, for every extra white kid you have, you know, they can dump 5 or 10 Somalis in your lap. So that's not the answer.
No,
right. Somebody put it to me in a way that before is like, if chickens don't like being forced into a McNugget factory, the solution isn't for them to lay more eggs, right?
Yeah.
So having more babies is a good idea, but it doesn't stop the cycle, the machine that is in place that leads to the destruction of white people. You're just having more kids being thrown into this situation.
I think it doesn't
justify what they're doing to us. It has nothing to do with it, really.
It comes back to the mass consensus. It comes back to our thinking, to getting people to think along these lines, that we are becoming a minority. We are being forced to assimilate and integrate. We are being suppressed. You know, our speech is being suppressed because freedom of speech and diversity are incompatible. It's getting people to think along these lines, on racial lines. You know, that's what we are. We are white survivalists, and we are trying to survive this program of genocide against our race.
And even if race isn't a big issue to you, but culture, quote unquote, is the issue to you, there still has to be some kind of division here to where you would be able to maintain your culture rather than having it drowned away and eventually phased out. You still have to have some kind of separation. Mm-hmm. You still have to have a way to maintain that culture. Just like Native Americans, what they were given reservations. So they can maintain their culture. That's the purpose of that and their people.
His discussion of birth rates is a non-point. Yeah, it's a non-point. we're not gonna stop white genocide by increasing birth rates. And then you had more points in here. That he spoke about conventional politics of violence ignores practical politics.
A lot of pro-whites seem to have this false dichotomy that if you can't, it's either conventional voting politics or violence. Those are the only two options. But there is a third option, and that's with the propaganda war, mm-hmm. convincing people, changing public opinion. Mm-hmm. That's how power is exercised today. That's how power is exercised in this
throughout history,
in this era of mass media, anyway, starting mm-hmm. with the printing press. Maybe before that it wasn't, but it is since the printing press. That's how power is exercised. That's how the anti-whites took power. That's how the liberal leftist modern priest class, whatever you call it, they took power about 1930 in America, and they've been in power ever since. In office is not in power. Mm-hmm. In power comes from controlling public opinion. They've controlled public opinion since then, and they didn't do it with violence. They didn't do it with force. They did it with by controlling all the means of dissemination of information. Yes, mm-hmm. but they didn't just control it. They used it to put out their consistent message, their mm-hmm. terms, talking points, and narratives. That's how they took power, and that's what we're going to have to do to take power from them.
Yep. We have to break down their talking points and break down their narrative and stop it.
We're not going to get rid of television, radio, internet, and the printing press. As long as they're there, that's how power is exercised. So that's mm-hmm. what we have to do.
That's it. You got to control the terminology, the thinking, to control the ideology.
Yep.
Yep, that's exactly. And that's why, you know, violence doesn't work. You know, we get back to this. These acts of violence that take place, it doesn't work. It's not effective in forcing the conversation, but it is, it needs to be looked at as a warning, you know, as Bob said, that this sort of violence does occur when suppression of a serious issue is had. I don't know how much, what else more do we want to talk about?
I think we've hit on all the major points here. The suppression and the fact that all of this terrorism would not be happening if white genocide was not happening. So, no, those are the two things that people really need to walk away with, understanding that suppression creates violence. And this wouldn't be happening if they weren't forcing white genocide. None of the terrorism from either side.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, as far as what really happened, you know, I tend to lean toward it. That's what you see is what you get here. It's a lone gunman that just did this, and it's not part of some larger conspiracy or anything. There's enough stuff in his manifesto that is, you know, good or damning to the existing system. You know, it's a mixed bag.
I would say
on the one hand, if I were to try to discredit this message of white genocide, I might do something just exactly like this. But at the same time, you know, there's enough stuff in there that he's right about enough stuff that it tends to make that it's he's not a plant or anything. He's not a government agent.
Well, I don't know about that because, I mean, what you say what you see is what you get. And what is it that the public's seeing? They're not seeing the manifesto.
Yeah. Right. That makes me lean toward, you know, maybe he is a government agent. But you know, why would they write the manifesto in the first place, you know, and then withhold it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the media hasn't really mentioned them. Well, they mentioned the manifesto, but they don't mention anything in it other than what is useful to the anti-white narrative.
There's a massive program to censor it too, because every one of those links I go to, it's not there.
They're jailing people for sharing that stuff in some countries. New Zealand, they're if you share the manifesto or share the video, you go to prison.
Mm-hmm. So. That's, you know, that regardless of his ideology behind it, I mean, it is. You know, we certainly don't condone the violence, but it has, it is drawing attention to the need for this discussion and to our discussion that we want to have. You know, it is, and maybe that's why they're censoring it. Maybe because it starts off talking about white genocide, the straight up. And I mean, how can they label white people, you know, white supremacists when their call is white genocide? You know, we're being attacked for white genocide. We're claiming a crime that is happening against our people here, and you're screaming white supremacist at us and denying us from being able to discuss it.
Yeah.
So I mean, it doesn't work in our favor. I mean.
Well, I mean, the people that there's going to be people that are on the fence about what we're saying that are probably going to say, you know what? I mean, I don't agree with them, but at what point do we start talking about it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, allowing them to have an opinion and express their concerns and make their points. At what point are we going to stop all the violence?
We need to study this notion that white people have rights. You know?
Yes. I mean, there are going to be people on the fence that look at this and like, okay, let's just stop the madness, stop the violence. Let's try to do something about it rather than pushing it all under the rug and pretending that white genocide's a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a conspiracy. I mean, a lot of people these days are looking at that and just laughing. Like, what do you mean it's a conspiracy?
I
saw something from Vox or Vice or some girl, and she's like, it was a well-produced video, and she's trying to explain to people that white genocide's a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
And that stuff is not helping. That kind of stuff is going to lead to more violence.
Yeah, or saying that one side in a political debate has some kind of monopoly on hate or intolerance or supremacy.
Mm.
No, that's just silly. That's another attempt to just stifle debate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's just schoolyard name calling.
Yeah, and part of having an open and fair conversation is to acknowledge, yes, that what we're saying is happening. Let's, rather than pretending it's a conspiracy, deal with what's in front of us. What you see is what you get, and let's work to resolving it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think there are people that, you know, who don't agree with us with some of our points, but are getting sick of the violence just as much as we are, and want it to be addressed. And whatever happens as far as, you know, a conversation and dialogue and how it develops.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bob pointed out that revolutions happen when the public just gets sick of the chaos and they're looking for somebody to change it.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the public is realizing that what the media and the governments are pushing to is not ending the chaos, just it's making the environment worse. It's all they're doing. So the anti-whites have no solution. Their only solution right now is to scream, "Shut up, white people!"
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's becoming so blatant that it's blame whitey, you know, and shut up and shut up, whitey, you know. That's it. It's just so obvious.
Yeah, diversity is causing all these problems, so we need more diversity.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, that's exactly the SBLC. I always laugh about the SBLC. Their site is dedicated to talking about the problems that diversity has created. And then their solution is
more diversity. Less white people.